Very quiet crowd here this morning. I had an awesome time of worshiping. I have greatly anticipated this sermon here today. I can't tell you how excited I am to be here and to bring this, the last sermon of 2023. Come on, anybody got a word of praise, prayer request? Am I the only one God gave a message to today? Well, thank you. That is a praise. Amen. We're talking about family today. Listen up and see if we figure out where family fits into this. There's one family member. He's Don, go.
Recently got a good health report.
Amen. Amen. Good health is from the Lord. Well, today is what I call Vision Sunday, and it's a look back and it's a look forward. And I hope to introduce to you this morning the broad theme of the direction that we're heading, that I feel God is heading New Life in 2024. In 2023, does anybody remember our theme this year, short-term theme? Joy. Choose joy. And that came, now I want to tell you a story. That came from the Holy Spirit while I was in the pulpit. I had no reason, I had no forethought of saying that or that coming forth. I felt that was from the Lord. So about 2 or 3 months ago, I'm thinking, oh, the Lord spoke to me in the pulpit. I shared with the people. I got to have a theme for 2024. Now, I'm just being wide open honest with you this morning. So I'm searching the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, I got to have a theme. I got to have a theme. I'm starting to get obsessed. I got to have a theme for 2024, Lord. And I'm pleading to the Lord. And finally, he said, Anthony, chill out. This is the first time in 12 years you've had a theme. Choose joy. Why do you feel like you need to have another theme in 2024? You know? Anyway. So, I'm at 41,000 feet. Just south of Rochester, New York, heading east toward Boston. And you probably don't want to hear this, but I'm Bluetoothed in my favorite songs, and I'm listening to jams on my headset. Now, it's turned down below air traffic control, I want you to be assured. I can hear air traffic control above my music. But the battle belongs to the Lord comes on. I've heard it a million times. I've heard it a million times at altitude, you know. And for some reason that I cannot explain to you, I started having revival in the cockpit. And it was all I could do not to cry. I was trying to hold back tears. I'm working on my co-pilot over here, my co-captain over here, and I didn't want to get into what the Lord's really ministering to me, you know. Anyway, so I don't know where this story is going other than the theme for 2024 came to me in a heartbeat. And if you've listened to my sermons this past year, especially in the last 6 months, I've gone back to the basics. Maybe I've mentioned that to you many times, that we got to get down to the very rudimentary, the very bottom building blocks of our faith. And that's where God's taking me. And so as we move forward this morning, I have a challenge to you. I have a challenge to New Life and to you personally. In Nehemiah 8:10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And that's where I've camped out this year. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, it's a paradox for me this year. See, when I was converted and believed in Christ, I saw a little bit of God and I saw a little bit of my sin. I saw enough of my sin to know I needed help and that I needed God. Yet, my brokenness was not truly brokenness. Anthony felt like he still had control of a lot of things. I wasn't broken into despair because I see Jesus and I see the supplies that God's given me and I'm full of joy in my life. Now, this was when I was a young man. Yet, as I get older now and I've been walking with Christ many years, I see more and more of Christ. I get deeper and deeper in the Lord and my sin becomes more and more evident. I see God more this year. I've seen God more in 2023 than I have in any other calendar year. But I've been broken more in 2023 than I've been in any calendar year. This year, the greater my brokenness, the greater my need, the more that it was ever before me, the more I see sin in my life is the more I run back to God. And so it's like this circle in my life. But I want you to know that I'm rejoicing and I am more confident of the Lord and what He's going to do in my life personally, what He's going to do in your life personally, and what He's going to do for us as a church body in 2024. And I do not make that claim lightly. Last year, we started out in January, our first Sunday was 1/1/23 last year. And we started with the Pray, Grow, Love partner, that Fresh Start series. And we're doing that again next year. Yeah, it is next year. We're doing that next week, which is next year. We're going to start off with a sermon on prayer, and Mel is bringing that sermon to us. We're going to have a sermon on growth. Then we're going to have a sermon on love. And then the last Sunday of January, and I'm going to hand out the papers and what you're committing to beforehand, I promise. We're going to have a sermon on partnership, of how you partner with each other and how you partner with the elders and how the elders and pastoral staff partner with you for new life. This past year, we had a sermon series for us, for others. Remember that way back in February? We had a sermon just before Easter, actually a sermon series, on the ordinances. We talked about baptism. We talked about the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. We talked about, we had a family series on family matters. Remember that? We had about 6 weeks talking about family matters. And then this summer, I was so blessed. Every sermon series this past year, I got excited about. We were in the book of Philippians, and we went through the whole book of Philippians, and I just couldn't get out of it. I could have camped there all year long. Then we went into pastoral care and church community. And then lastly, right before Advent, we were in Deuteronomy 6. And then we went to Advent. This year again, we're going to do Pray, Grow, Love Partner on the 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th of January. And then we're going to, in February, start this new idea, this new theme for 2024. And we're going to follow it at least to Easter, if not farther but beyond it. Easter is early this year. Y'all know that? Easter is the 31st. All right, and we always have this dichotomy of people here, Don. Some want to come and watch that sun rise up over them trees, and some say, 8:39 is good enough, you know. Now, what camp would y'all be in? Just 8:39. All right, very good. Most people that say that have young children, and I certainly understand that. We want to help them all that we can, but I understand. So we have an outside vote of 8:39. So back to basics. Today is decision day. Today is decision day for you individually and for us as a church. This is leap year coming up. We have 366 days in 2024. Every day of those 366 is going to be a decision day for you, of whether you would choose life or whether you would choose death. It's not like Starbucks. Who here really likes Starbucks? Really likes Starbucks? Don't be ashamed to raise your hand. If you like Starbucks, raise your hand. That's fine, yeah. Everybody likes Starbucks. Now, in the Army, I learned I drank black coffee, and I'm so glad I'm so glad. It was the coldest, my basic training was the coldest winter on record. You can go back and check me on this, in New Jersey. And that's where I went to basic training. You can't train if the weather is below like -7 or something like that. And we didn't train for like 10 or 15 days because it was that cold. Anyway, I learned to drink black coffee then because it was just easier to drink black, warm water, brown kind of stuff. But anyway, at Starbucks, do you realize how many different options? Let's hear some. How many different options you can get at Starbucks, starting with black coffee being one of them? I mean, let's hear some numbers. 300. You're small-minded. I don't mean that as an insult. No. $540. You're closer than him. I'll stop it. Okay, let's start again. At Starbucks, you have 87,000 choices, all right, of different things you could get, all right? So I guess black coffee with sugar, black coffee with cream, but no sugar. I mean, you see what I'm saying. So 87,000 comes really quick. You know, I was behind a lady. Listen to this. I was behind a lady. She says, I like a venti half-calf caramel mocha soy, no foam, extra whip, caramel drizzle, extra hot, double-blended frappuccino. Oh, my goodness. $10? Oh, at least. It took about 2 seconds. I just said complex order at Starbucks, and that came up. I mean, But friends, in all seriousness, today's decision day, every day of 2024 is going to be a decision for you. And the choices are very limited. Very, very limited. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Yep, Old Testament. We're going to, between now and Easter and throughout the year, we're going to be in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the theme for this year, I know, is choose life. Choose life. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to order me a Choose Life t-shirt. If you're interested in that, just Google it. I mean, I don't want you to order one. I mean, I'm just saying, it'd be interesting to see. I can't not tell you. Okay, in 1983, there's this rock band called Wham, W-H-A-M. And do you remember Wham? Yes. Yeah, and they came out with this video, okay, in 1983. I was 19 years old. And they picked Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Anyway, yeah, y'all can sing it for me. They had these white Choose Life t-shirts on. That was the first time anyone had, you know, really ever seen a Choose Life t-shirt. Now, fortunately, the Pregnancy Care Center and stuff like that have latched on to this Choose Life. And it means so much more today than it did back then. But back then, it was a campaign to not do drugs and not do something else. I forget what. But anyway, to live a clean lifestyle. Oh, it was suicide. It was an anti-drug and anti-suicide campaign back in 1983 of choosing life. And today, through 2024, we need to choose life. Have we got it up, Henry? I'm sorry, brother. Deuteronomy. Now, we've been in Deuteronomy, and just let me remind you, this is Moses. This is his last farewell. Deuteronomy is a series of three different sermons. This is his last sermon. This is some of the last things that Moses will say to his people. And he says this, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word, friends, the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over to the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you, friends, He has set before us life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Wow. Just prior to this sermon that Moses is speaking to the people, in the chapters prior to that, we see all the wonderful blessings of if you follow the Lord, you will be blessed this way. We see the terrible, terrible, blood-curdling curses that will come upon them if they turn away from God and go somewhere else. Now think about this. Moses is speaking this to the nation Israel as they, or just before they go into the promised land, just before they go into or step in faith into the Jordan River. Can you picture that? Now picture us today, sitting here at New Life, and we're reading this, we're comprehending this ourselves. And there's a whole line of history between when Moses spoke this to the Israelites the very first time, there, how they did not obey the Lord, how they fell from His grace, how they were taken captive twice. So the Israelite nation, the Jews, have to look at this in a post-exilic, is that a word? Post-exilic, after the exile, they're looking at this again. And they're saying, wow, can we do better than mom and dad? Can we do better than grandma and grandpa? Can we do better than our forefathers? Moses assures them in verses 11 through 14, he assures them, it's not too hard, it's not too remote for you to understand and to know God's will. It's not some mystery that someone has to go and bring to you. It's in your head. You can use your eyes and read it. The Holy Spirit allows you to hear it. We're going to preach on that, of how non-believers even know the Word of God. Matter of fact, let me give you a foretaste of that. Even in our messed up politics in America, okay, they know you should not lie. They say, get rid of that Bible. I don't want that Bible. Throw it out of here. Right? But yet they know you shouldn't lie. How do they know you shouldn't lie? Well, you just shouldn't lie. Lying's wrong. Who told you lying's wrong? Who told you lying's wrong? Because God breathed the breath of life into Adam. And all the Adamites, all mankind, we have a sense of right and wrong. And when we're making decisions, boy, I'm out here now. When we're making decisions, I tell my boys especially, but all my family, they come to me and they say, Dad, you know, I'm doing this. I need to decide, do I go this way or do I go that way? And it's not necessarily life or death, but sometimes you can differentiate there. And I'll say, son, have you prayed about it? Yes, son, let me pray with you about it. Yes. But when it comes down to it, I say, son, deep down inside, stop running to the Christian bookstore. Stop going to the web. I'm preaching to you now, not my boys. All right, stop going to the website. Stop searching this certain preacher or preacherette that you try to follow and stuff, okay? And get quiet before God. Get in His Word, and you'll know what you should do. You just need to get quiet and admit it. So I'll say, Evan, Robert, Will, deep down inside, you know what you should do. Stop chasing to get somebody to tell you it's okay to do something else. It don't get no more real than that. Sorry, Evan, I did not ask your permission on that. And let me ask you this. Why is it so much easier? And maybe it's just me. I didn't check with y'all on this. Why is it so much easier to hear the devil's voice than it is God's voice? Because we agree with the devil, yeah. More for me. I just recently got reacquainted with the song Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones. My sister grunted and choked, and she's gagging back there. That's a very deep, deep song. And as a Christian, if you listen to that song, Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones, and base it against the Word of God, your eyes will be opened. Your eyes will be opened. All right, let's get back on script. I'm like Joe Biden, get off script, I get in trouble. I tell you what. All right, Moses in verses 11 through 14 assures us that it's not too hard to know God's will. God's commands do not exceed your ability to understand them. God's commands do not exceed your ability to understand them. And the Holy Spirit within you gives you the power to follow and do God's commands. Moses gives this final call for a decision. The terms of this covenant are clear. Now a decision has to be made. Choose life or choose death. As we go forward, I've only got four sermons picked out. But life, L-I-F-E, L is for lordship. Is Christ the Lord of your life? Every decision we make this year, you should ask yourself, is this putting Christ on the throne of my life? I is for investment. I have the same amount of time, 24/7, 366 next year, as Jesus Christ did. Am I investing in the things that make Christ the Lord of my life? F is for fellowship. Do I consider the people around me, not just fellowship, let's get together and have a party. Oh, we're going to have a party tonight. What time? Okay. No, 8 o'clock. If you're here at 8:30, you're going to miss something good. Okay. Be here at 8. But fellowship, side note, Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, February 11th, we're having a party. And not to celebrate the Super Bowl. It's just a reason to get together. All right? As Christian men and women in the family of God, all right? Some of us will be watching the TV. Some of us will be fellowshipping. Most of us will be doing a little bit of both, okay? But that's Sunday night, February 7th. But tonight, 8 o'clock, be here. But listen, how does my decisions, every day I make a choice, is the Lord, does He have lordship of my life? I, investment, am I investing in the things that are important, that have eternal consequences? Fellowship, my actions that I'm making, how do they affect the people around me? Think about that. As we choose life, we're coming back to this at the end. As we choose life, if you think it doesn't affect the people around you, you're sadly mistaken. And we're going to explore that this year. In E, emancipation. What? Emancipation. Free. Are we free? Or we are truly going to be free in Christ? Anyway, there's four sermons coming. All right, readers of Deuteronomy. Let's go back here. The readers of Deuteronomy, both in the ancient time and us today, right here, the last day of 2023, we stand alongside the people of this story. We too must decide. This sermon from Moses to Israel, as they enter into the promised land, all right, I've already talked about all this, but now, so Israel heard it before they messed up and sinned and didn't follow God. They heard it again after they were exiled and come back in, and now we're reading it again today. They've got to ask, is there any hope to succeed? Our fathers and our grandfathers and our fathers before that, they could not succeed in keeping the Lord front and center. Can we succeed? The answer to you today is yes. To everyone who hears a call of God, to everyone who hears a call of God, remember, Jesus, everything in Jesus is yes and amen. Yes and amen. Hebrews 3:7 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So friends, during 2024, each and every day, individually as a person, okay, corporately as a family unit, and then as the family of New Life, we have decisions that we have to make. And are we going to choose life and prosperity, or are we going to choose death and destruction? And some of you are thinking, but Anthony, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. Yeah, wait till you realize how much New Testament is coming. We have choices to make, and we have been guilty, friends, of making half-hearted decisions. Oh, I'll try. I'm going to try. All right. There's this famous philosopher named Yoda. And he's talking to Luke Skywalker, all right? And Luke gives this half-hearted, well, I'll try to go defeat the black evil kingdom or whatever that is. Okay, I don't know. Yoda says this, no, try not. Do or do not. There is no try. I should have got that clip. Maybe, yeah. I should have had that clip up here. That would have been so much better. But Yoda tells Luke Skywalker, listen, I don't need any half-hearted effort here. I don't need a half-hearted effort. And it's not just the Old Testament that Moses makes it very clear here. You choose God, you choose life, you will prosper, you will be okay. You do not choose God, you go after false gods, you will not prosper, you will not be okay. Moses is very exact, life or death. But now Jesus, not him, you know, he comes with a little nerdy pocket protector and says, well, you know, if you want to follow me, you know, come on. And no, Jesus made stark demands of his followers. And this year, I'm not going to pull back on myself. God's already not pulled back on me. And I'm not going to pull back on you. We're going to read the gospel for what it is. And there's some stark demands of his followers. And a decision is going to be required each and every Sunday and each and every day between each and every Sunday. And we must choose how we're going to act. And it's not just because of you. We're going to explore the possibility of not the possibility, but we are going to look back at the Old Testament, and they had these blessings and they had these curses. And so many times they were communal, they were in bondage, they were oppressed, they were hungry, they were homeless, and all these things if they didn't follow God. We're going to go to the New Testament and explore this concept of what choices Jesus gives us to choose life. As I just said, it's not about you. Look at verse 19. Can we just bring up 19? Moses says this, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have not set before you life and death, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and who? Your descendants may live." Let's leave that up there. Wow. It's not just about you and your choices and how it affects you. So many times we get on this, well, it is a personal relationship with Christ. I do understand that. There are no grandkids in heaven. Do you understand what I mean by that? There are no grandkids in heaven. That means you have to be a child of God. You cannot be, just because my mom and dad was saved, I as a grandchild, or you know, cannot come in under them. I have to personally have a relationship with Christ. And we confuse that, and the devil distorts that so many times in our life that we think, well, it's just me and my decisions. But no, the decisions I make all through the day affect my kids that evening. And decisions I make through the year of 2024 is going to affect my kids and my grandkids for all eternity. And we're going to preach that. We're going to see if that's true or not based on the Word of God. My challenge to you in 2024 is to choose life. Choose life. So many times, I've been guilty of softening the Word of God. The band can come. Preachers are often, they soften the call of God. And they say, yeah, but we're under grace now, okay? It's faith, you know, we're under the new covenant, Anthony. You've preached out of the old covenant. Yet the New Testament call of a choice is just as uncompromising as Moses and his choice was. And so this is a time of celebration. Somehow I feel like this is taking a very downer turn. But actually this is good, because I'm sensing here the last day. We're at the end of 2023. And I'm sensing that we are looking back and we realize that we have not made good choices. And we realize we need to choose life. And this idea of Jesus being the bread of life, this idea of choose life, this idea of surrendering daily, not just being something that I see on a bumper sticker, but that I actively pursue, gives us hope. Gives us hope in 2024, because God has not changed. His love for you never fails. He desires you to come close to Him, and He will come close to you. Choose life in 2024.